Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, and then when you get there, if you'll take your marker out and mark that spot, and then also open up to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, and we'll begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 10, and then we'll flip over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. We come to the Word of God, we should understand that this book that we have is in its entirety one book. It is the Word of God. And as being such, it is His book. The Bible that you and I hold in our hands is made up of 66 individual writings. We call them books, at least how we have divided in our English translation. And certainly there are various topics and messages contained in this book. But as you and I look at the Scriptures, what we will come to find out and discover, as God Himself is the author, is that these subjects are woven throughout. They're perfect in their beginnings. They're perfect in their subject. They're perfect in their exposition. Meaning, I could open the pages of Scripture and find out about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ throughout the pages of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. What I discover about Him is not just confined to the pages of the Gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's even not even confined just to the New Testament. The Bible tells us this, that the Lord Jesus taught His disciples this blessed truth. We find these words in Luke chapter 24, in verse 27. It says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning themselves. And on the other occasion, there were those that had doubted, and Jesus told them this, 'Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me.'" You'll find that in John 5 and verse 39. In the Old Testament, we find the promises of God and the precepts of God. In the New Testament, we find the application and the outworking of those promises and the precepts of God's Word. What we discover in the Old Testament is expounded in the New Testament and applied. What we find in the New Testament is explained to us and lived out, whereas we see the same truth, at least, at the very least, in seed form in the Old Testament. This being God's Word, there's symmetry all throughout. There is profit all throughout. Even as the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and verse 17, he said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." There is so much to be gained from knowing and applying the Word of God, searching the Scriptures, both the New and the Old Testament. Even better for you and I is when we study and when we meditate on the Word of God, when we delve into the Scriptures, for you and I to make the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Notice here in our text in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, in verse number 10, we read these words, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." I'd like to preach on this subject this evening, our excellence in our service to the King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before You this evening, we are so thankful to have our pastor and his dear wife back here with us. We thank You for watching over them as they are away. We thank You for giving Joshua great power and the power of the Spirit to preach the gospel message at the memorial services for Pastor's mother. We thank You, Father, to learn of two souls that were saved. Father, no doubt many that watch via live stream, who knows who received Christ during that time. And we so thank You for that. Oh, Father, we thank You to be able to gather around Your holy word this night. And I pray, Father, that You would teach us and help us and guide us and direct us with those things that we have need of. And so, Father, we pray for your work to be done this evening, and we ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Henry Kissinger, in his book, The White House Years, tells of a Harvard professor who had given an assignment and now was collecting the papers from that assignment. By the way, as I read this illustration, I thought about maybe we should have assignments in Hampton Roads School of the Bible, papers to collect and be able to review over. But anyhow, he handed these papers back the next day, and at the bottom of one of them was written this: "Is this the best that you can do?" The student thought, "It is mine." "No." And he redid the paper. It was handed in again, and it received the same comment. This went on 10 times over and over again, till finally the student got to the end and said, "Yes, this is the best that I can do." The professor finally replied and said, "Fine, now I will read it." What we're dealing with here is our excellence in our service to the king. You and I just read in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and found that Solomon, the preacher, gave the admonishment for you and I to labor in the fullest while we are able to. And let's turn over to the New Testament passage and find its companion in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24. I'd like for us to think about this matter of excellence in service. And as we look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24, I'm going to do something unusual and ask you to stand now for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to ask you to read with me Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24, and then we'll pray and be seated. Let us read it together. The Bible says this: "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." Verse 24: "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come before you and we see both the Old Testament passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and the New Testament passage here in Colossians chapter number 3. And I pray, Father, you would work in our hearts in this matter of not just service to the king, but excellent service to the king. Help us to understand what that is and why it is, and the admonishment for you and I to serve excellently in this time that you've given us. And Lord, I ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. If you're taking notes this night, I'd like you to write this down. First of all, the scope of our excellent service. The scope of our excellent service. The first point, and probably the most vital in our text, as we think and consider our excellence in our service to the king, is the scope of our excellence. And I ask the question this evening, what is the scope of our excellent service? What does it cover? At what times am I under the watchful eye of the king in my service to him? And I believe this, that the scriptures give us the answer. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 23. The Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do." When we see this phrase, I believe it shows us undoubtedly that all four realms in which we operate day to day, you and I ought to have excellence in our service to the king. We think about, first of all, this, our service to the king at home. Our service to the king at home. This is perhaps the most challenging of all places to have excellence in our service to the king. You see, our families are in great need for each of us to serve the King of Kings in excellence. In our homes, our family members are witnessing what it is that we say. They're witnessing what it is that we do. And not only that, they're witnessing how we do it. And this goes not only for our immediate family, but also those we have frequent and infrequent contact with. You see, they will discover what your priorities are in life. In other words, they will see what you spend the majority of your time doing. They will make note of how you respond to situations around you and situations that involve others. They will see whether or not you live the same within the walls of your home as well as when you leave the walls of your home. Not only will they see what we say and what we do, But I want you to understand this. They will see how it is that you are doing that. In other words, are you doing it in excellence? Are you doing it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I want you to understand this evening, and Pastor and I were just discussing this, is everything you and I do is teaching others around us. The things that you and I do day to day in our homes, we are teaching those around us. And so we have our service to the King in our home. But secondly, I want you to note this, the service to our King at work. When we begin to think about this idea of excellence in our service to the King, we'll soon discover that one of the greatest mission fields that you and I encounter is our workplace. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. The Bible says labored with two individuals in the New Testament that would have a profound impact later on influencing a man by the name of Apollos. In Acts chapter number 18 and verse number 1, we read these words. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. But then in verse 18, we read these words in the book of Acts. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. Though the scriptures do not tell us specifically of Priscilla and Aquila's salvation, no doubt it was Paul who faithfully labored at work. As the Bible says, he reasoned in the synagogues, and these two received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because of this, we find Priscilla and Aquila helping in Paul's labors. We find them helping in the labors of other local churches. And we find that these two end up influencing Apollos, a man, the Bible says, contended and was mighty, a mighty preacher in the Word of God. No doubt, as we think about this, we must come to the conclusion that Paul labored not only in the Scriptures, but in his workplace, in excellence for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, by the way, gave him validity. It gave validity to his testimony as a Christian, because he endeavored not just to get by, but in excellence with service to his King. Not only do we see service to the King in the home and service to the King at work, but I want you to understand the service to the King in the local church. One person wrote this: every church is filled with willing people, some willing to work and others willing to let them work. And I want you to understand this evening that I'm not just speaking to you about laboring in the local church, although that is important, and unfortunately the laborers are few. But what I am discussing is laboring in excellence. We need not only laborers, but we ought to labor in excellence, doing the best we have with the ability to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only should we be laboring in excellence in our service to the King at home, at work, and in the local church, but fourthly, I believe we should be laboring in excellence as citizens of this country, this state, and this city. We see service to our King as citizens. Christians ought to be the finest citizens in Hampton, Virginia. You and I ought to be excellent in all that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the passage in Romans chapter 2, where the Lord is dealing with the hypocrite in that book of Romans. And this is what is stated concerning this. It says, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God." And here's the punchline: "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you as it is written. In other words, those that were recipients of God's holy law and those that have been taught God's holy law transgressed in the very things that they were supposed to stand for. And the world saw this. And the Bible says that because of this, God's name was blasphemed. Today, you and I, as citizens of this great country, ought to be excellent in all that we do as citizens. Just because everyone else uses the Walmart parking lot to dump their trash, we should not be found in that way. Just because everyone else uses loopholes of the law for personal gain, you and I ought not to be found in that way. Just because the lost world knows how to cut corners and get away with it does not mean that you and I, as citizens of the great King, ought to do the same. You see, the scope of our excellent service, not only in the home, not only in the workplace, not only as citizens of this country, and not only in the local church, but I want you to note, number two, the measure of our excellence. How is it that you and I are to measure our excellence? What ruler are you and I to use? Again, the Word of God gives us the answer. And really, this should be the motto of our lives as Christians. Notice what the Bible says there in our verse number 23 again. The Bible says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. If you look at that phrase there, you'll notice that there's three parts in it. And I want to give them to you. Number one, we see the word heartily. As we look at this word, you and I can easily see the English word heart, the root word heart in it. But we should understand this as we look at this word. The underlying word gives the idea that our excellent service is to come out or to come forth from inside, from our hearts. This speaks of the reality of our service, that we're not just being dragged along in it, but we're doing the will of God, guess what? From the heart, from the inside. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6 and 7 says this, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Not only should our excellent service flow from within, but secondly and most importantly, I want you to see this second part, which is as to the Lord. This is a true Jewish idiom that you and I see here. It's one thing being put in direct opposition with another. You'll see as to the Lord, and it says, and not unto men. You see, our difficulty oftentimes in excellence and service has to do with this fact that our focus in our excellent service is upon men more than it is God. As we look around and as we serve the King, we're really looking out to see what will Pastor Carol think? What will Brother Jerry think? What will Brother Dave think? And we'll go down the list and look at each individual, and we're more concerned about the eyes of men than we are the eyes of God. You see, the Bible states over and over again that first and foremost, you and I must be concerned with the eyes of the Lord upon what we're doing here at Sharon Baptist Church, in our workplaces, in our homes, as citizens of Hampton, Virginia, etc., etc. You see, when I go to work on Monday, tomorrow, as I step out the door, as I get in my truck, and as I head over to the church house, I am to understand this. I'm in service to the King. When I go home after I get done at work in that afternoon, and I get back to my house and I begin to roll up the steps in my house, I am to understand as I walk through that door that I am in service to the King. When I go out shopping with Shannon later to pick up some groceries, my life is to be in subjection and in service to the King. When I come to the church house, perhaps to labor, to go out soul winning with Brother Spencer or hang some door hangers, you know what? I ought to know that I'm in service to the great King. You see, our lives will be tried as Christians through the perspective of what have I done in this body for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible states in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 9 through 11, it says, "Wherefore we labor." This is Paul speaking. He says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent," here it is, "we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And then he says this, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are manifest," or open or visible, "unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." I can't stress it enough for us here at Sharon Baptist Church tonight, as we look at this particular subject in what we do here at Sharon Baptist Church, at this local New Testament church, we ought to ask this question: is this, what I'm doing, not just done, not just I'm serving, but is it done in absolute excellence to our King? We see not only the scope of our excellent service, the measure of our excellent service, but lastly, as I begin to close, I want you to see number three, the end of our excellent service. What is it that is the end of our excellent service? Notice with me what the Bible says in verse number 24. It says, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." We like to mention this word, reward. We like to think about receiving something. I don't know of a person who does not enjoy receiving gifts, and I'm the same way. I like to receive things. But I want you to understand this night that the end of our excellent service is Christ Himself. The greatest thing that you and I ever will receive is Christ Himself. This phrase is peculiar because it does not speak of a particular temporal object like you and I might would expect, but rather it speaks of identification with Christ Himself. This is the eternal reward of glory with the King. Oh, we could sit up here and we could talk about the fact that heaven is our home. We could sing about that. We could look in the Scriptures and we could understand and talk about the streets of gold. Well, we might in our minds imagine what it might be like to see the sea of glass, and maybe we could think about the pearly gates with the apostles' names inscribed upon them being made of one singular pearl. We could speak of the untold beauties and the magnificent wonders that our eyes have not even seen, nor our ears have heard, the wonders which our God hath prepared for us that love Him. But my friend, the greatest end of our excellent service is the King, the Lord Jesus Himself. I want you to think of it. All of the splendor that one's mind could possibly imagine. What greater treasure could there be for you and I than to know and to say, "I've given all for the King of Kings," to behold Him one day in purity and know that I've done all I could. As we close, I wonder this evening, if we find our service to the King is in excellence, knowing the scope of our service to the King is our total lives, knowing secondly the measure of our excellent service is as unto the Lord Himself, not unto men, which provides not only the instruction but our central motto in heart and all that we do. It also directs us towards the best that we can do. And lastly, maybe we ought to be encouraged this day that one day, the Bible assures us, we'll be recompensed by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, as it's put, the reward of inheritance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about this thought, I can't help but think about the few that are here this night. Lord, these are the faithful few, those that serve in many different areas and capacities here at Sharon Baptist Church. And Father, no doubt in my heart and mind, I'm saddened to think that the only place we serve is here within the confines and the walls of this church building. And Lord, I would think that we'd be lifted up higher than this. We'd understand that our service to you is at all times. It's in all places. And it ought to be done in excellence because it's as unto the Lord. Father, would you help us in this very subject? Help us as we leave this place, when we go to our homes, to be excellent in our service to the King amongst our families, to our wives, to our husbands, to our children, to our loved ones. Help us to be excellent in our service to you as we go off to work come Monday. Help us to be excellent in our service to you when we're out and about and just shopping. Help us to be excellent citizens here in Hampton, Virginia, shining the light of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to keep forefront in front of us that we're serving you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You deserve the very best. Oh, Father, let our service to you be excellent. Let it be shining, that you would receive honor, that you would receive glory, that you would receive praise. And out of this, no doubt, that souls might be saved because they see something marvelous, the King of Glory. Father, would you help us this night? We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. As you stand to your feet,